Everybody talks.
We keep you informed
24/7.
Do they understand what the Constitution is all about? They're supposed to be the ones that will say, okay, well, you can protest, but don't do this, don't do that.
Look, protest is part of democracy. Whether it is or not, it's part of democracy.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I'm Zainab. Are you a mother?
And then I've had friends tell me, hey Zainab, the way you are going, you're going to spoil this child, make you see as your own source of joy.
Or an aspiring mother. Are you single, married, separated, divorced, or a single parent?
Are you concerned about your body and about pregnancy transformations or managing a toddler's tantrums and the general challenges of motherhood they didn't tell you about?
Share your stories on Maternity Line.
Fridays, 12:15 p.m. on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Maternity Line.
You are listening to the best radio station in Lagos, Nigeria right now. That's 99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one talk, news and sports radio station. It's not easy to be, you know, the best radio station in Nigeria right now. Yes, today, of course, we are wrapping up on that conversation we started some 2 weeks ago on common traditional beliefs and practices. Today is the last day. I did promise you last week. In fact, I've been doing the promising since 2 weeks. That we are going to have an Orthodox perspective, and that is happening right now. Lagos, I'd love to do this with you again. If you're a medical practitioner, call into the show and let's have a talk. I'm Zainab Yekin, and this is Maternity Line Show. Hi, good afternoon, Zainab. Nice to hear you again today. I'm a lawyer. I have seen my mother a few times when I had my baby come up with talks like, let's take this child to Mama Alagbo. When I had my baby about 4 years ago, I was told the baby had a jaundice, but my mom went to this Mama Alagbo. Why are you saying Mama Alagbo? Not everybody understands Yoruba, a traditional medicine professional, she meant. We took the baby there, Oluwa Damilare. They gave us some herb, they gave us some bark, and we boiled it. And then this baby had a bath for about 5 days, and the whole thing called jaundice wasn't there again. So here is the thing, JBK. Was your baby diagnosed with that, or your mom just assumed that it was a jaundice? Did you go back to the hospital where you had the baby? What happened? I'd love to hear from you. JBK, the number is to call 0700-993-993-993-01-465-7190. WhatsApp line is 0809-597-5805. Hello, good afternoon.
No, Zainab.
No, I'm not a nurse. I am not a nurse. I'm a broadcaster.
Fred now, doctor. You always be Dr. Fred now.
Right. How are you today?
Peace, happiness for me, Kurudu.
Nice to have you on the show. Happiness. What's up? Do you believe...
No, Zainab, the tradition is just too much. Sometimes I ignore it, though. I ignore it. They'll tell you, do this, do that. Your baby is... Put your baby's neck like this. Do it like... It's just too much.
I know.
Don't take this, don't take that. I ignore it most times. I don't want to start having belief in all those things.
Are you a mother or a pregnant woman or expectant mother?
I'm a mother.
Okay, great. Okay. So do you have any story when you had your child? How many of them though? Yoruba was saying, well, King Komo for Lomo. Do you believe in that as well?
What's the meaning of that?
It is not ideal to count the number of children one has.
I don't believe in those things.
All right, happiness. Thank you so much, darling.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Blessing.
All right.
So, what you are discussing is a very important issue.
Right.
I have a total belief in tradition.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. All right?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Seaman, and this is my first time on your show.
Oh, all right. Nice to have you on the show.
I love the topic you've just brought today.
We have been on this for 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah, you see, it's what you believe that works for you. I can remember when growing up, you know, my mom used to tell me, once you don't drink agbo, nothing for you. And you know, those days, these things were working. Just like there are sometimes, you know, I fall sick, they call me, boil dogoyaro tree, mango tree, and lemongrass, and then they pour it in a bucket.
Okay. Are you a father?
I'm an upcoming father.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
All right. I have Dr. Alera Roberts on the show right now. I'm super excited. Good afternoon, Dr.
Yes, I've been here.
Dr. Alera Roberts. She's a public health consultant, maternal and child health specialist. She's also an associate professor, College of Medicine, University of Lagos, also an honorary consultant to the Lagos University Teaching Hospital. She's the immediate past second vice of the Association of Public Health Physicians, Lagos State Chapter. Welcome to the show, Dr. Alera.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Matt, let's get to it immediately because time is not on our side again. There are a lot of traditional beliefs and practices peculiar to motherhood. Actually, some people regard them as mere superstitions. Talk to us in the context of motherhood. For instance, pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers are told not to eat eggs as the baby will be sick more frequently. Some will say when a pregnant woman walks in the sun, the spirit going to their tummy. What is the orthodox perspective to all of this?
So the important thing to remember is that with all these so-called myths and traditions, one has to check the scientific value. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. So one has to check the scientific value. So one of the things we know that for the baby's brain to develop, the mother needs to eat a lot of good quality protein. Eggs are the best quality protein anybody can get. So first and foremost, if you want your brain, your child to have a, you know, fantastic brain development, you really do need to eat a lot of protein in pregnancy. And this is the issue we have with a lot of mothers of the lower socioeconomic classes that do not get access to good nutrition. So eggs, meat, milk, yogurts, you know, cheeses, fura, you know, all these things that beans give very high quality proteins that the mother should eat a lot of. Regarding walking in the sun, so what happens when everywhere you are, there is sunshine? Will the mother not go out? Don't forget that we make vitamin D in our skin by exposure to sunlight. And vitamin D is very important for strong bones and teeth. Right. So a lot high levels of vitamin D are needed. And that is the one thing we get naturally living in this part of the world where there's a lot of sunshine and we are exposed to the sun on a daily basis. Having said that, we must also caution against dehydration, because staying too long in the sun, you can lose a lot of water, and dehydration is something that a pregnant woman too has to be very cautious about. Now, I can't remember the third thing you said, but I just wanted to send a message to GPK and other mothers whose newborns have jaundice.
Right.
There's a thing we called physiological jaundice, which usually you see within days 2, 3, 4 of birth. It is normal. It is the blood in the uterus, the fetal hemoglobin breaking down and the adult hemoglobin taking over. So whether or not she had bathed the baby in the water of the bark of trees and herbs and shoots,
right,
that jaundice would have cleared anyway. However, having said that, jaundice seen in the first 24 hours of life is dangerous and needs, yes, anything seen in the first 24, 48 hours of life is dangerous and needs to be seen by a pediatrician, preferably a neonatologist. You need to get to the hospital. So jaundice, you know, shouldn't be taken lightly. And if you are not sure, it's okay. That baby is so precious. Nobody will quarrel with you if you take a newborn baby to the hospital and say, my baby is jaundiced, what do I do? They'll do the investigations and tell you whether you can go home and, you know, just look after your baby or whether anything further needs to be done. I hope that I've been able to catch up on the time.
Yes, very well. So there are other common traditional beliefs and practices peculiar to motherhood. Yes, for instance, throwing a baby up in the air, according to traditional medicine professionals like the Alhaji Modinot that we had the other time, said that it makes the baby stronger. Some women say bending the baby while bathing the baby makes them stronger as well. What is the orthodox stance on this?
Well, I don't know about throwing the baby in the air, but what doesn't, you see, when it comes to what we call traditional practices, we have harmful and not harmful. In any case, if you don't drop the baby and you don't allow the baby to hit the ceiling or hit anything, to be honest with you, I mean, we know a lot of fathers and older cousins who toss babies in the air as a means of play. And sometimes the babies enjoy to hear them giggling and laughing. I wouldn't say you should do that before the age of 3 months when the baby has achieved neck control, because there's a danger that the head being heavier than the body could cause some damage. So it's, I will not advise it in very young babies, certainly not newborns up to 3 months. But by the time a child is getting to 4, 5 months, 6 months of age, it's a form of play that can be done with caution. Then the other one you said was bathing the baby. Nowadays, you know, in the beginning, when I was graduating medical school, as soon as the baby was born, you know, we washed all the vermix, that caseous material on the baby, off. Now, the new teaching is, we use an inert oil like olive oil to clean the baby, because it maintains the integrity of the newborn skin. Which is very important to prevent infection, neonatal sepsis. So we just use an inert oil, preferably something like olive oil, to wipe the majority of the material off the skin, and we don't bath the baby for about 24, 48 hours. In fact, there really is no need to actually bathe the baby. The baby will not develop body odor, I can assure you. And if you do, we usually just tend to use a little warm water and make sure the baby is well oiled. And you have to look after the cord. It is very, very important. And that's another reason why bathing the baby sometimes is something we need to take, we need to discourage, because if anything enter, you know, that cord is still wet, it's still moist, and can be a source of infection. And we need to be very, very careful that the baby's cord is looked after. We advise that the mothers use a little chlorhexidine to clean it, and they are given that in the hospitals, and make sure it remains clean and dry until it falls off naturally.
All right, so speaking of the baby cord, some people would, because that happened when I had my baby, somebody attempted to do that, though I declined. But they're always telling me, oh, you and this, you're too, no, you and this, you're being educated and all of that. I have this elderly woman with me who attempted using hot water, warm water, let me just say. So, you know, because it's not meant to be like that. I'm talking about a woman that has about 7 children. So I couldn't argue.
Well,
I just allowed it.
Well, it's very, very difficult to advise in these things because, you know, this is a one-time thing, and you've got to manage the culture, the family relationship, and what you want for your baby, okay? So, you know, I mean, if this elderly person is really not your mother, not your mother-in-law, and not a significant other, very gently make sure that she's not around when baby is being bathed or changed. Okay? Make sure everything has been done, because we've got to be very careful with the culture. Whether we like it or not, there are certain cultural practices that are good, and we don't want to, simply because of one or two harmful practices, now throw away, excuse the pun, the baby with the bathwater. So we want to encourage the good ones. We want to, we don't mind the ones that do no harm, but we have to discourage the harmful ones. And one of the harmful ones is allowing infection into the umbilical cord with poor care. So all we advise is use chlorhexidine to just dab it as often as possible until it drops off naturally.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Robert. Lagos have been trying to call. If you have questions for Dr. Alero Robert, the number is to call 0700-993-993-993-01-465-7190. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, thank you for the lecture. I appreciate, and my greetings to the doctor too.
Right.
Though my question goes like this. There's this sickness, because I'm a parent, I'm a father, my name is Blessing.
All right.
The parent. There's this question I want to ask.
Please go ahead, Dr.
There's
Robert
this
is listening.
Sickness they call Ila when a child is born.
That's Ila.
A newborn baby. Ila. Right.
Okay.
Ela. What is the English cure for Ela? Because even while I gave birth, my wife gave birth in the hospital, and they still direct me to go and use warm flour to use in bedding that baby. To cook. Plug the flour and cook and bed that baby. So what is the English medication for
Ela. All right. All right. Thank you so much. Doctor, over to you.
Ela is what we commonly call, is what is the Yoruba, is, you know, it's usually infantile eczema. And babies all over the world, regardless of the color, the culture, the clime, the creed, somehow seem to suffer this infantile eczema. The best thing you can do for it is ignore it.
Oh, really?
I keep telling, I'm telling you, it will. Do you have Ela? Look at your beautiful skin. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And if you ask your mother, she will tell you how much concern the Ela on your skin gave her when you were a baby. Honestly, you don't need to do anything more than keep the baby cool and comfortable. Bathe the baby after the first week or so. You're bathing the baby regularly, keeping the baby's skin well moistened. And, you know, in our part of the world, I fully believe in the use of things like shea butter, olive oil. Right. If you can afford it, the branded baby oils are also very good. But, you know, not everybody can go to the supermarket and buy them. I find them quite costly. Petroleum jelly. Good old petroleum jelly is very good. Just making sure that the baby's skin is well moistened and the baby is kept away from insects and other biting things. It is, nobody has even actually found out the reason why so many children, so many babies have this infantile eczema. But one thing I can assure you, having brought up 4 children and 5 grandchildren, it clears before they hit their 6-month birthday, you know. It's clear. Their skin is perfectly all right. So don't kid yourself.
So, Dr. Alera, if I got you right, if a baby has this infantile eczema or Ela, it should be ignored as long as you
don't try to treat it. As long as you're keeping the baby clean and dry and comfortable, trust me, it will clear.
Oh, wow. I have more people.
And another thing I must mention.
All right.
We find that babies who are breastfed exclusively, because infantile eczema is some form of an allergic reaction to the world, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's an allergic reaction to the world. So babies that are breastfed are not as exposed to allergens, things that can cause an allergic reaction, as babies who are not breastfed exclusively. So that's my plug for exclusive breastfeeding right there.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Alera. I wish we could continue, but time is not on our side again. I see all your calls. I see all your messages on WhatsApp. My WhatsApp is flooded. And sadly, I mean, luckily for me anyway, I'm already booked for next week when we'll be discussing mental health of mothers with special needs children. I would have loved to revisit this conversation with you, but you know, we just have to let it go. Lagos, if you want this conversation to be had again, message me on social media at King Zainab on Twitter, on Instagram. Then we take it again from there, and we'll book another appointment with Dr. Alera because of the short time we had today. Thank you so much, Dr. Alera Robert. Dr. Alera Robert is a public health consultant, maternal and child health specialist, associate professor, College of Medicine, University of Lagos, UNILAG. She's also a consultant to the Lagos University Teaching Hospital, LUT, an honorary consultant. She's the immediate past second vice chair of the Association of Public Health Physicians, Lagos State Chapter. Thank you so much, Dr. Alera. May God honor you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Ma. Lagos, thank you so much. I am sorry I couldn't take all your messages. It's the news time. Have a listen. Thank you.